stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word? And we will read our verse that's been our theme verse for this this past series in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. It says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you have instituted this thing called marriage. And this is your idea, and it was by your design. And Father, help us to realize your ideal in this thing we call marriage. Help us to honor you, God. Father, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what you want us to know today. Speak to us, God, and help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Before we get into the message part of it, I have a video testimony of a couple in our church, and they're not here today. I hate that they missed this, but how many of y'all know Bill and Mary? Bill and Mary Hall, I mean, you know Bill and Mary Hall. All right, so for some of you, this is going to be the first time you are introduced to them. They've been married for 63 years, and they have got some words to give to us this morning. Watch. So they do the triple kiss every morning. There we go. They've been doing that for a long time. And so they're a neat couple, and they gave us some good advice there. I also have some pictures of some wedding pictures some of you sent to me. And we have Beaver and Tina. This is their wedding. Chris and Angie. Tom and Stephanie. And then we have another couple, Eli and Carissa. And I don't know, do you have an idea of who those two other couple might be there? That's Bill and Mary. And I was sitting behind them, and I saw that, and I told Michelle, I said, I've got to get a picture of this, because here you have a married couple that's been married for 63 years looking on to a newlywed couple that's just getting married. And what, wow, you know, young married couple to a seasoned married couple. I thought that was a neat photo, new picture. Because when we think about getting married, and we think about marriage, and we think about the day of the wedding, you know, we're all getting excited, and the bride's got the beautiful white dress on, and she's looking nice, and the guys, you know, we're all tuxed up, and we've got, you know, we're looking good, and everything's looking so fine, and we're sitting there, and we have people and friends and family, and then we have a pastor that's officiating the wedding, and he may read a verse that out of Genesis 2:23 at some point in the sermon, when he says, talking about Adam, when he speaks to Eve, the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." We realize the importance of God instituted the marriage, and it was his idea, and build that wedding ceremony around that fact and that principle. And then there's some point in the vows that we make. You know, we stand to each other and we make these vows, and you may have said these words, or similar to these words, in sickness and in for richer, for better, for as long as we both shall what? Live. And I mean, we're saying those words, and we're repeating those words, and we're just so excited, and we're so happy, you know. We're like, yeah, and all we're thinking about is for better, for richer, good times, you know. We don't think of the sickness. We don't think of the poor. We don't think of the unhealth, the worst part of it. No, we're thinking about the good part, right? I mean, you have people maybe tell you, now, it ain't going to be easy, it's going to be tough, and we're like, oh, I know, we know, we know, we know. But we're not thinking, right? And you're sitting there saying these vows back and forth to each other in front of God and these witnesses. Then all of a sudden, later on in life, you realize, wow, marriage isn't always easy. Life isn't always easy. It's difficult. It's hard. There are days of sickness, poor, worse. And so what do you do? How do you establish a marriage that can go 63 years or longer? How do you establish a marriage that is as long as we both shall live? I'm going to give you two key truths here that will help you. So some of this message is premarital counseling, okay? So those of you who ain't married, here you go. You get some premarital counseling this morning. Here we go. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says this: "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" Now, this isn't just specifically in the context of marriage. It can be with marriage, but it's in all principles of our life that we as a believer should not partner ourselves with, get ourselves closely engaged with an unbeliever who has a different worldview than us, different goals than us, different purpose than us, because anytime you enter a partnership with someone, if you are not like-minded, like-goal, like-focus, it will not work. And so in our marriage, if you will marry a believer, it will get you started in the right direction. Okay? So if you're not married, ladies, and you're a godly lady and you love the Lord Jesus, then you need to make sure that you marry a guy who loves Jesus. You need to marry a guy who has a heart for God and who will love and follow Christ. Guys, if you're not married and you love the Lord and you're serving God, then you need to marry a lady who loves the Lord Jesus. Start right. Start off together of a like mind, of like faith. Why? Because if you start together as a married couple with your focus and goal, with the same faith and the same purpose and the same worldview of life, it's going to make marriage much better. Would you agree? Now, some of you, I know you married somebody, you're a believer, and your spouse wasn't. And they since have come to know the Lord. And what do I think about that? Praise the Lord. Awesome, wonderful, right? If you're married and your spouse is not a believer, guess what? Pray for them. Pray that God would open their heart. Pray that God would speak to them, and maybe they come to the truth of who Jesus really is. Okay? If they're being faithful and they want to stay in the marriage, Paul says, stay together. Now, if you have an unbelieving spouse who's unfaithful, who is abusive, or someone who doesn't even want to be married to you anymore, then Paul says, then you have the freedom to let him go or to let her go. But we need to base a marriage on the fact that both husband and wife love the Lord Jesus and follow him. Start there. Start with a house that is united, not divided. Make sense? So, ladies, listen to wisdom. Listen to advice. If you bring home a guy and your mom says, "He ain't the one." And if your dad says, "Mm-mm," and your mamma says, "Uh-uh, don't marry him. Please, they're trying to save you from hardship." Okay? All right? So listen, guys. You're dating some lady, and she is needy and complaining and just griping and just, "I got to have this and this and this," and you got, and just demands. Don't marry her. Okay? Saving you for some heartache. You find someone who loves Christ. That's why I'm blessed and I'm thankful for Michelle, for my wife. As I prayed, "God, send me a lady who loves you more than she loves me." Because I know this fact, that if your spouse loves God more, they'll love you the way that you're supposed to be loved. And so you have to have that strong foundation. Secondly, once a husband and wife who are Christians decide we're going to be married, you must decide emphatically that your house will be a house that serves and honors God. Joshua 24, verse 15. The Israelites were at this place where either they were going to go follow Christ, follow God, follow the Lord, or they weren't. And so he has this to say: "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether it's the gods which your father served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have got to make it your foundation from the very beginning that as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I don't care what they're doing down the street. I don't care what my neighborhood's doing. I don't care what the community around me's doing. I don't care what Hollywood says marriage is. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Together, our house is a place where God's presence is going to be made known. And if God blesses us with children, which he has, he's blessed us with two, they're going to know how great and awesome God is. Our house will be a place where God is glorified. That has to be a foundational starting point. You have to get that. That has to be intentional, and that has to be purposeful, and that has to be a priority for you to have a strong, long-lasting marriage. Because you know why? Life happens. And the sickness comes. And the poor comes. And the worst comes. And what do you do when those days come? Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. What do you do when the worst happens in your marriage? I want to show you another video of a testimony of a couple that if it was not for their faith in the Lord, they wouldn't have survived. Watch this. I know when I watched that video and was prepping for that to show it, it tore me up. And because I think that the worst fear of a parent is for something to happen to their child. And what do you do in moments like that? If it had not been for their faith in the Lord, they wouldn't have been able to press through that. Because those bad moments, those worst moments, they can come and happen like that. Ecclesiastes also says in chapter 4, verse 11, furthermore, he says, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. This is what we talked about a few weeks ago, a cord of three, that in your marriage, that third cord has to be Jesus. It has to be your faith. And you have to entwine your lives around that cord. And your marriage must be held together by Christ. That's the strength. In Jesus being the center of your marriage, it's not easily torn apart because the worst days can come and also the sickness can come as well. I'll show you a picture of Perry. This is Perry and Myra. Perry was, our college and career class teacher at Fairview Baptist Church where I was raised up. And he was one of the neatest guys that you could meet. And he is always laughing, always joking. He was a man of faith, loved the Old Testament stories, and taught those all the time. Could crush a softball. Brandon, and this has been a guy we'd want on our softball team, could crush a softball, could kill a golf ball, and just a really neat guy. And this is his wife, Myra, who is a great Christian lady as well. Well, on December 25th, year 2000, he had just turned 42 years old, about a month, and he had a stroke. It was a brainstem stroke in the pons area, which means that typically a person does not survive that. Like he doesn't even, his percentage isn't even a percentage because of the likelihood of him surviving that. And he was in a hospital in Louisville. And while I was in seminary, I'd go visit him once a week, and I would just read the Bible to him. I'd read the Old Testament stories to him. That's what he loved. I'd read the stories about Noah and Joshua and all those things. And we just kept praying and praying. And he made it out. He made it. He made it. He couldn't speak. He couldn't walk. Okay? He wrote 2 books. Had a daily devotional called Lighthouse Beams. Had a website. And on that website, he talks about if somebody got him sitting up on the bed, and if somebody came down and sat beside of him, it was very dangerous because he said he didn't know which way he was going to fall. But he shared testimony after testimony of how God was gracious and Myra was with him every step of the way. That's what love looks like. Y'all know it. Standing right there being supportive. That's what love looks like. You stay with them in sickness and in health. Now, this is another picture of Perry. This is him at his home. He's got Steelers. This is the only thing I didn't like about Perry was he's a Steelers fan. That's all right. There's his dog. And here's another picture of him and his wife with their medical dog there. And it's just a great, great couple, great men and women of God. This next picture is his family. That's his son Drew and his daughter Becca. Her name is Rebecca. They called her Becca. And they were both in my youth group when I was youth pastor at Fairview. About 8 months ago, Becca just got married. And she was just excited about starting her life together with her new husband. And she had had some type of surgery. I forget what it was, a minor outpatient surgery. They flew out to Colorado for their honeymoon, and they came back, and she had an aneurysm, and she died. And there is Perry, happened to bury his daughter. And Myra now has been going through 14 years of caring for Perry. Now she loses her daughter. But she sticks by him every step of the way, and their faith brings them through. That's what love looks like. That's what it means in sickness and in health. There was a president of some big college several years ago, and his wife got in sudden disease, some rare disease. And he immediately resigns from the president to take care of his wife. And one of the physicians there, it was like there were so many people just shocked that he would be willing to give up his presidency to care for that. And the reason why the physician said, he said, it's not as uncommon for women when their husband gets sick that the wife cares for him, but it's rare to see a man stick with his wife when she gets that sick. Guys, in sickness and in health, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen to any of us. So therefore, when we're married together, we marry them for better, for worse. In sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer. My dad was a steel worker. They went on strike. I don't know how. At one point, they were on strike for 8 years. And he went from job to job to job to job. I watched my dad do all kinds of things to try to provide for a family. And it was up and down, up and down, up and down. And there were some arguments and there were some fusses and fights. But you know what? Both my parents loved God and was centered as Christ as the center of their marriage. And they pressed through. In our marriage, in our life, things are going to happen that we didn't expect. There's going to be things happen that we wouldn't have voted for and said, yeah, I'd like to go through that. But it's going to come. And when that day comes, what are you going to do? I'm telling you that if you will build your marriage on the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when those storms rage and those storms come, it will not knock your house down, for you have been built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. I'm glad we got a picture of what it means to finish. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the author tells us, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, it doesn't say that the cross was enjoyable. That wasn't a pleasant thing that Jesus had to go through. He said, but for the joy put out before him, what was that joy? That he knew that when he went to the cross, it was going to accomplish redemption and salvation for you and me. And he thought it was worth it. And he goes all the way to the cross, despising the shame, the agony, the horror, all of the difficulties. He says, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm glad we serve a God who doesn't quit. I'm glad we serve a God who finishes all the way. That he went all the way to the cross. That just because of the pain that he was going to encounter, just because of the shame that he was going to encounter, just because of the hardship that he was going to encounter, he just didn't throw up his hands and say, I quit, I'm done. No, he went all the way to the cross. Therefore, Paul says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. It means you finish. You finish. You go all the way to the end. Y'all might have read the story or heard the story about the older couple that had been married for years and years and years. And they were both sick, and one of the spouses died, and not too long after that death, the other one passed as well. They were holding hands, making it together all the way to the end. In sickness and in health. For richer, for poorer. For better, for worse. As long as we both shall live. Jesus finished. Husbands, finish. Wives, finish. Fix your eyes on Christ. For he is our example of what it means to finish. He is the beginning aspect of our faith. He is the author and the perfecter. He is the one that perfects our faith. We trust in him. This morning, you may just need to come and pray together as a couple. Not because there's maybe problems in your marriage, just because you want to just pray and give thanks to God. Some of you, you're not married yet, and you're planning on getting married. Be wise, be prayerful, and heed the voice of God. Start right. Start on Jesus. Some of you are going through a struggle right now. And so you listen to what God's saying, and you hold and you fix your eyes on him, and you let him carry you through that moment. Through the worse, through the sickness, through the poor, keep your eyes on Christ. If you don't know Jesus this morning, you've never placed your faith in him, guess what? This would be a great day to say, you know what? I need to receive Jesus as Lord. I need to give my life to Christ. So whatever he's laying on your heart to do? Would you obey? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you demonstrate to us what it means to be faithful. That you loved us when we were unlovable. That you went all the way to the cross when you didn't have to. But you endured it. And you sacrificed your life and you gave your life as a ransom so that we might be saved. And so, Father, I pray for all those here that God, all of us would look to you for our strength, for our salvation. I pray for our husbands, Lord, in the house this morning, that we would finish well. Pray for our wives that we would finish well. Pray for those who are yet to be married that they would be wise and start their marriage founded on you, Lord. Father, in all of our ways, may we honor you. Lord, if there be one here this morning that doesn't know you, speak to their heart and draw them, and may they come and receive life today. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come. Let's worship.